Well, whether you are with us on our physical campus at MCC or are continuing to join us online this morning, welcome and good morning, MCC family. It's great to be together. Isn't this wonderful? And happy Father's Day. I'm excited this morning to be kicking off a four-week series about a man named Samson. In Scripture, there is no man described as physically stronger than Samson. And yet, at the exact same time, there is arguably no man in the entire Bible described as spiritually weaker than this man. It's a weird contrast, isn't it? And no doubt about it, every man here and every man online this morning wants to be known as strong. Ever since we were little boys, we would run around with no shirt, flexing our muscles, and saying to our moms, "Feel this. I think it's gotten bigger." And they would smile and lie and say, "You're so strong." And let me ask you, ladies, how many of you have adult men in your life still doing the same thing right now? Only we do it a little different now. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. To be clear, I think both men and women want to be viewed as strong. I just think there is something inside every man that wrestles with this question. What is true strength? What does it look like, really, for me to be strong? 20 years ago, John Eldridge, former counselor with Focus on the Family Ministries, wrote a book called Wild at Heart. It sold more than 4 million copies in America alone and is still the number one selling book on men's spirituality on Amazon. In his book, Eldridge makes this comment. In the heart of every little girl growing up is this question: am I beautiful? And in the heart of every little boy growing up is this question: am I a man? Am I a real man? So here's what I want you to know about this series. I believe this series will speak to both men and women. I believe it's going to speak to everyone. But I believe over the next 4 weeks, God is going to speak very deeply and very powerfully to the men in our church. To kick this off, I want to quickly show you two popular movie clips. And then I want to ask you a question, okay? Watch this.
Thank you.
asked the men, both on both campuses, here and online this morning, for how many of you that Braveheart clip fired you up more than the Titanic clip? Just raise your hand. Yeah. That just goes to prove there are two types of movies. There are chick flicks, and there are good movies. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You can be a real man and still enjoy a good romance movie. But think about this. What is it? As overplayed as that Braveheart clip is, what is it that still stirs up something inside the heart of every man? And women can get stirred up too. But for men, can I tell you what I think it is? I think it's a battle cry. A battle cry for you to live your life not just for yourself, but for something bigger than just you. A battle cry to make a difference in this world. And I believe our world today is looking for men to be real men. One of my greatest desires as your pastor, and Pastor Jeff shares this desire with me, is that when our world looks for where the real men are, they will have to look no farther than inside MCC. When they ask, where are the men of integrity? When they ask, where are the men who will use their lives and, if necessary, would lay down their lives for something bigger than just themselves, they would say, oh, I know where they are. Look inside MCC. Now, I believe we have a lot of that kind of men at MCC right now. But for it to stay that way, I think there is so much we can learn from the life of Samson. Samson's life story is found in just four chapters in the book of Judges, chapters 13 through 16. And there is a lot packed into those four chapters. His is a short story about a big life, a life chosen by God, betrayed by greed, and redeemed by grace. This morning, we're going to dive into chapter 14. If you'd like to turn to that and hold it, we'll look at it in just a moment. But first, let me give you the big picture view of the book and times of Judges. Let me show it to you. It's a book that shows Israel walking through this continuous and repeating cycle for the nation of Israel. Let me show you. They start out serving the Lord. And then Israel falls into sin and idolatry. They begin to worship other gods. And then Israel is enslaved. Other countries will come in and abuse them and just absolutely oppress them and finally enslave them. And then they will cry out to the Lord for deliverance, and God will send a judge. Now, in this time, there were no kings in Israel. So God would send a judge, and that judge would deliver Israel from their oppression, and then they would start serving the Lord again, but they would continue the cycle. Soon thereafter, they would fall into sin and idolatry, etc. And that goes on for over 300 years. God sends 12 judges to rescue Israel through this time period. One of those judges, perhaps the most famous of all, was Samson. And God, as we just finished our last series, disrupts Samson's life with a divine calling to go rescue Israel, who at this time has been enslaved by the Philistines for over 40 years. Now, the Philistines were kind of like the Klingons of the Old Testament. Brutal. Take no prisoners. Almost everyone has heard about Samson. And what is it we remember most about Samson?
His strength.
And because we know Samson as a man of great strength, we typically picture him as something like this. He's ripped. He's built. Now, this is my opinion, okay? My opinion. I don't think Samson looked like that. It's like some guy with a muscular physique and a big muscle definition. And here's why. If someone who looked like that did something extraordinary physically, ripped a phone book in half, lifted a car, pulled a train, you wouldn't say, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe that." You'd be more like, "Well, yeah, of course he can. Look at him." You know what I think Samson maybe looked like? I think he looked like me. I mean, if I did something like rip a phone book in half, or lift a car, or pull a train, you would be like, "Whoa, that has to be God." As we share this life story of Samson throughout this series, I want you to notice this one phrase that keeps popping up. Anytime Samson did something extraordinary physically, it was usually preceded by this verse: "The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him." Samson didn't get ripped and have great strength because he did CrossFit or because he had a membership at Planet Fitness and worked out every day. Samson was strong because God's Spirit came upon him and gave him his power. And I want to say this to everyone listening, but especially I want to say this to the men. The exact same Spirit that gave Samson his power is the exact same Spirit that lives inside every man that follows Jesus. You have access to the strength of Samson. Look how Jesus said it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you will receive," what? "Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And Peter tells us we receive the Holy Spirit when we decide to follow Jesus and get baptized. Acts 2:38 says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Listen, if you are a baptized Christ follower, you have access to the exact same Spirit that gave Samson all his strength. And God has the ability to use you in amazing and great ways too. But can we be honest? There are a lot of men today, and I feel this way sometimes, but we don't feel very strong, do we? And that's because many of us get led to be weak the same way Samson did. And this is where a lot of people just gloss over the story of Samson. Growing up in church, we were taught, what was it that led to Samson losing his great strength? What was it? Cut his hair. Let them cut his hair. And if that is your view of Samson's life, you will completely miss what really led up to him losing his strength. Here's what I want to say. This is a message in a bottle, if you will. What led Samson to lose his strength was not a loss of hair, but a loss of self-control. If I were to summarize this message in one sentence, this is what it would be, and it's on your outline. Samson was an incredibly strong man who had surprisingly weak self-control. Ladies, have you ever met a man who was so strong in so many ways and yet lacked self-control? Ever met a man who was so strong at work or in his hobbies or working out And yet he didn't have the self-control to commit to one woman. Ever met a man who at work or in his hobbies could lead hundreds of employees or friends, and yet when he gets home, he just sits on the couch and can't even lead his two or three kids clamoring for his attention? Some of you ladies are going, yeah, get them. Well, not so fast. We're not going to let you ladies off the hook that easily either. Men, have you ever met a woman who was just so beautiful? And that beauty gave her so much power. And yet she lacked self-control and it destroyed her. Have you ever met a beautiful woman who kept falling for the wrong men and their lies again and again and again? See, here's the thing. The strongest man or woman on earth will become instantly weak without self-control. Let me back up a little. Where does self-control come from? It's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So here's what I want to do with the time we have left. I want to take chapter 14 in the book of Judges and walk together with you through three attitudes that begin to creep into Samson's life that always make strong men weak. Always. I want to give you the three attitudes first and then walk through them with you. Three attitudes that make strong men weak. Number one, I want it. That's lust. Number two, I deserve it. That's entitlement. And number three is the attitude, I can handle it. That's pride. Now watch how these come out in Samson's life and oftentimes in our lives as well. Judges chapter 14, verse number 1 says this. Samson went down to Timnah. Now he's not supposed to be there. That's enemy territory. And he saw there a young, smoking hot Philistine woman. Now she was smoking hot. You'll see that as this series continues. But he goes to a place he knows he's not supposed to be. And that's how so much of the trouble we get ourselves into starts, isn't it? Verse 2 goes on to say, when he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now go get her for me as my wife. What's he saying? I want it. I have seen it and I want it. In the very next verse, Samson's parents try to talk him out of it. No, Samson, you don't want to do this. That's not someone for you. She's not a godly woman. Samson, don't do it. She's not right for you. And then in this same verse, here's Samson's response. But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. And that phrase, right in my eyes, is so big. She looks right to me. It looks right to me. And I want it, and I don't care what anybody else says or thinks. Let me point something out for those of you who are deeper in the Old Testament. This is a huge pivoting point for the entire nation and life of Israel. And it's a message for all of us today. Up until now, when Israel falls away, the Bible says they, Israel, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. But Samson is the pivot point for the nation. Because after this, the phrase becomes, Israel began to do what was right in their own eyes. Anyone else feel like we're living in a culture where everyone just does what seems right in their own eyes. And it's easy to point fingers at others. But what about you? What about me? Have you ever gotten to the point where something or someone looks so good to you? Something or someone, you knew it wasn't right. You knew God said it wasn't right, and everyone around you was saying it's not right, but it looked right to you, and you wanted it. I bet we could all think of a time we did. A time when we did what was right in our own eyes. I want it. Let me give you something to think about. Just think about it. We so often tell others and even tell ourselves, if it feels good, do it. But what if what you feel today leads you to do something you will regret tomorrow? Sound familiar? That's the first attitude. I want it. And right after that, another attitude begins to develop. Verse 5 says this, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. Now we know what a roaring lion is all about. They're hungry. They're ready to pounce. They're going to devour you. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him powerfully. Now there's that phrase, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. Then listen how odd this next verse is. But he told neither his father or mother what he had done. Now, I'm sorry. But if I tore a lion apart with my bare hands, you'd never hear the end of it. I mean, literally, every illustration in every sermon would begin with, that reminds me of the time I tore this lion apart with my bare hands. We found out later why he didn't tell anyone. But the verses continue. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Well, of course he liked her. He had already seen her. He had already lusted for her. He already wanted her. He already went home and told his parents, go get her for me. Of course he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass, and in it he saw a swarm of bees and some honey. Once again, this is where we get ourselves in trouble. We know where we're supposed to be going. We know what we're supposed to be doing. But we get turned aside. Oftentimes, it's because of the second attitude, I deserve it. No, Samson, you don't deserve it. It was God's Spirit that gave you the strength. And now you're going to go back and see your great deeds. What does he see? The same thing we see when we go after the forbidden. He saw something sweet. He saw some honey. And then he does what is forbidden. He touches the dead carcass of an animal. And worse, the next verse, verse 9 says, he scooped out the honey with his hands and ate it as he went along. How could anyone be so stupid as to betray God for a handful of honey? And yet, men do it every single day. It's just a look. It's just a few pictures. It's just a lunch. It's just a one-night stand. And for a scoop of honey, they give up sometimes everything that is good in their lives. I want it. I deserve it. And look how that leads to the third attitude. I can handle it. Verse 10 says, now his father went down to see the woman, and there Samson held a feast as was customary for young men. The New Living Translation says, Samson threw a party. Now, if you keep reading, that wedding party lasted for 7 days. If you think your rehearsal dinner was something and expensive, theirs went for 7 days. And they are partying for 7 days. You need to go back to the beginning of Samson's life story in chapter 13, but you'll see that he was dedicated to the Lord, set aside to serve Him, and part of that was a vow not to drink anything alcoholic. So what's he doing here? He's throwing a kegger for his friends. Why would he do that? Because he has this attitude, I'm strong, I can handle it. Don't worry about me. I can stop anytime. But we'll see later on in this series, what Samson thought he could handle ended up handling him. I want it. I deserve it. I can handle it. Those three attitudes take strong men down every single day. I know our time is going, but I don't want to leave you guilty. I think all of us can say we have fallen to one or more of those attitudes in our life. But I want to be sure you hear this. Listen carefully. We have a God who specializes in making weak men strong. So let me leave you with three attitudes that combat those three attitudes. And these will make weak men strong. The first is the attitude when we adopt that says, I am weak and I need God. That's transparency. No, I am not all that and a bag of chips. I'm weak and I need God. I don't have everything it takes to be the perfect husband my wife needs. To be the perfect father my children need, the perfect boss or employee. I'm weak. I need God. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. The second attitude we need to adopt is, I deserve nothing. That's humility. I deserve nothing. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. What I deserve is death. God owes me nothing. But the gift of God, not anything I've earned or deserved, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the third attitude we need to come to. It's an understanding that I can fall to any sin. That's vulnerability. No, I can't handle it. Well, I think I can. I give the appearance that I am handling it. But no, I can't. I can fall to any sin. That's vulnerability. The strongest man is not the one with the most power, but the one with the most restraint. Men, that's why you should be in church with your family every weekend. That's why you should come to the men's Saturday breakfasts and Bible studies. That's why you should be connected in a small group or a Sunday school class. That's why you should be hanging out with other Christian men, doing, going, building, helping with projects for others, repairing homes, passing out bread, helping Jeff and Rhonda with the youth, and the list goes on. We need the strength of Christian brothers and sisters to stay strong in the Lord. So here's your takeaway. I want you to wrestle with this week, honestly. I want you to go back to those three attitudes that make strong men weak and women weak and fill in this statement. Here's your takeaway. My weak attitude is most often what? I want it. I deserve it. I can handle it. I can tell you which one it will be for you. It will be the one you find the hardest to say out loud. And then go back to the attitude that will help combat that weakness or those weaknesses and get to work on it. I want it. But you know it's not right. I deserve it. She's not doing for me what she should. You don't deserve anything. You deserve death. God has gifted you with life and life with someone if you're really blessed. I can handle it. Really? Are you still kidding yourself about that? Well, I can handle it. Secret sins tend to come out more often than you think. Men, I believe the world is positioned right now for the men of our church to go transform this city. But it will take us remembering our strength comes from the Spirit of the Lord and His power at work in us. May we all surrender ourselves to the strength of the Lord. Father God, this morning, we want to thank you for the life story of Samson. For so long, and perhaps too long, we have made it a good Sunday school story for children. Strong man who rips apart lions and kills tens and even thousands of the enemy. Kind of gloss over the rest of it. A man broken because of these attitudes we talked about. I want it. I deserve it. I can handle it. You found out, no, you can't. Not apart from what God has called you for. You can fall for anything. So, Father, this morning, help us to start at the beginning. If we are not yet a fully committed Christ follower, if we have not repented of our sins, if we have not been baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of those sins, if we have not allowed the Holy Spirit that you have gifted us with to dominate our lives and our thinking, then let us start there, committing ourselves completely to you. As we prepare to leave this morning, Father, help us to adopt three new attitudes. I'm not all that in a bag of chips. I'm weak. I need you. I need you every hour. I need you every day. Help us to understand, Father, we don't deserve all the good things you've given us. But we're going to be gracious or grateful and graciously use those things you've given us to make the world and the lives of those around us even better. Help us to understand, Father, most of all, that I can fall for anything. I need the strength, the accountability, the partnership of brothers and sisters in Christ to stand strong for you. And help us to understand that strength will come not from within ourselves, but from you. We will stand in your strength. And so like the song we sang, give us all those things, the faith of Daniel and Moses, and that we can face our giants, not with our strength, but with yours, in the confidence of knowing that he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. For others, Father, we just need a recommitment to that. For some, we need to go beyond that now. And just truly give ourselves to you for wherever you're calling or leading. But Father, let us honor You this morning by obeying the Spirit that is probably stirring in a lot of us today. For some, that may mean going home and making some real big decisions, back to work. Maybe it means coming forward this morning and just giving our lives to You and asking our brothers and sisters to share with us in our needs. But whatever they are, Father, please let us give ourselves completely to You. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand and as we sing.